A weak solidarity bricky team listener when, even though I've missed the past couple of weeks with a nasty bloody cold, I'm calling it a cold because I had a flu injection this season, so if it wasn't a cold, then the flu injection worked a treat, even though it is impossible not to comment on the events of the past fortnight, and only once or twice in the now 40 years of the week that was have I decided the events make satire impossible. That there is nothing to laugh about, even our usual bad jokes. The week of the Tiananmen Square massacre was one example, and the same applies to the events of this past two or three weeks. There is a common thread. The victimisation of displaced peoples, rendered landless by the colonists and land grabbers and their affluent first world backers. Oh, we could have set up a no-voter explaining he was not a racist, but the racism let loose by the No campaign was too serious. I'm going to tell two stories going back a long way. About 40 years ago, I was in Lebanon as a guest of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, visited refugee camps where the displaced explained they had lots of kids despite their squalid conditions because we need the next generation of freedom fighters. On a Sunday afternoon, we were taken south to the Zion border where we met young men fighting for that freedom. One, a final year med student at Amman University, spending his summer vac fighting for the Palestinian cause and then going back to Jordan to complete his studies if he survived the summer. That was their life. Many of the refugees were the generation thrown out by the Western powers, all wanting nothing more than to return to their ancestral land and homes. They were and have never been allowed back. Apart from those smiling kids who happily posed for photos, 40 years later presumably being this generation of freedom fighters, nothing has changed. The dispossessed still bombed, jailed, killed, homes demolished, crops destroyed by so-called settlers, lives controlled by the trained killers of an illegal occupying power supported by world capital. Sure, the attack on Zion by Hamas was violent, yet the Palestinian landless have suffered violence for at least 75 years. The capitalist world, including our government and, of course, Zion, declares Zion has a right to defend itself. But if the victims of colonization and daily oppressive colonization resist, they are further victimized, bombed, maimed and killed, homes demolished and declared militants or terrorists. When the real terrorism has been practiced by Zion governments and Zion-trained killers for 7.5 decades. As we know, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. The supporters of Zion terrorism maintain the mantra of the two-state solution, a total impossibility as Zion settlements squeeze the ejected into ever-decreasing space. And there is little chance of those illegal settlers being told to vacate the land they steal. Thus, difficult as it will be, the only logical solution is a multiracial, non-religious state not based on one race or one religion. Conceding, of course, that Palestinians are also Semitic people. And it is important to iterate that the enemy is Zionism, a racist philosophy, and not Jewish people. Now let me go back even further to when I was living in an anti-Vietnam War community called DMZ, Demilitarized Zone, a shop in Chapel Street, Paran, where four of us lived permanently and who knows how many people were there on any given night. Toward the end of its life, Rod Marks moved in with us, a full-blooded Indigenous bloke, and on the Saturday night between Christmas and New Year, he came out of the pub across the road, 10 o'clock closing in those days, where coppers were waiting, and no surprise, they arrested just one person. No need to guess who. Rod rang us next morning to bail him out, but could we bring a doctor because he had been bashed by the coppers, who, as is their habit, and Paran Police Station was infamous, charged him with assaulting them. Being that time of year, we couldn't find any of the friendly left-leaning doctors we knew, but Rolf, a DMZ regular visitor, rang a doctor he knew who said he would meet us at the police station. Rolf said he had no idea of the doctor's politics. We waited and waited and waited and finally rang the doctor to ask where he was. "Oh, it's all right," he said. "I rang Paran Police Station and asked if they had someone who'd been bashed, and they said no." Now, we had an idea of his politics. What universe was he living in? We bailed Rod out, took photographs of his injuries, which we presented when he fronted the beak, and he beat the rap. I raise that because, like nothing changing for the Palestinians over those 40 years, nothing has changed for Indigenous Australians after all these years as well. Just last week, a teenager on remand and never found guilty of any crime died in an adult prison cell. 2 days ago, Queensland police shot and killed another black man. In both cases, no one will face the consequences, but if anyone were charged, he/she would be found not guilty by an all-white jury. Yet in 1988, after the huge black march and the events surrounding the bicentennial celebrations, I left Sydney feeling positive about the future of Indigenous relations, clearly misplaced. Now, when the first people of this land invite the colonial power to recognise them and their thousands of years relationship to the land, whose flora and fauna capitalism is rapidly destroying, asked to be allowed to make decisions for themselves, 60% said no. And while there was a progressive no vote, which I can understand and respect, that would have been a very small percentage of the vote. Despite denials, there is but one conclusion: racism. The misinformation, disinformation, outright lies, which even told us the majority of Aboriginal people themselves opposed being recognised. The vote in Indigenous communities exposed that lie. Too late, of course. And the slogan, "If you don't know, vote no," was, as the statement released by some years proponents this week made clear, a call to public ignorance. But then the vote itself was a testament to ignorance. At the door as I entered the polling station was a sign, "We acknowledge the Wurundjeri people, etc." And I thought, if the polls are correct, non-Indigenous Australia was about not to recognise all Indigenous people. On a positive note, of course, millions did vote yes, and none of this will prevent the Palestinian people and our Indigenous people and those who support them continuing the struggle to right the wrongs of their respective and the terrible consequences of their respective dispossessions. As usual, the struggle goes on, and we will get back to the usual week that was next week. But oh, I can't help myself. Mr. No, Constable No, Constable Peter Duffer, whose political strategy is oppose everything the government does, which we often do as well, but for different reasons, this week supported the government in sending trained killers and their killing machines to protect Zion from the Gaza non-land, non-people terrorists. More brownie points while Big Supremo Anthony Albanese was licking US of the UN of the US of the world Supremo Joe Biden Capitol's boots. While the US of has sent heaps of trained killers and trained killing machines, which have been shooting down Hamas penny bungers, while warning countries not to interfere or widen the conflict. Okay, I got all that off my chest, my cold, infected chest. Till next week, good morning.